The following message was given by brothers Robert Rios and Timothy Hung in the church in New York City on the Lord's Day, December 29th, 2019. The title of the message is Principles of Material Offerings 3. Scripture readings 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 5, 7, and 13 through 15.
Oh, Lord, that causes us to be empowered. Oh, Lord, to fulfill all the requirements of your word. Thank you, you're such a life-giving spirit to be everything that we need, Lord. Lord Jesus, we give ourselves to you this morning. Even we give the speaking to you. We give all the saints to you, and all their sharing and all their with all their portion. Lord, this morning, build up your body. We are those who depend on you, Lord. Oh, we love you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for bringing us to the church, into this ministry. We can enjoy here all these riches. Amen. So this morning, we continue or we end this last day of this portion that we've been reading concerning the material offerings and the Lord's move today. I have to thank the Lord that it has been a real blessing hearing from the saints, their portion, their testimonies. Even this past Friday, in the Friday night meeting, I was encouraged because one of the saints shared that in the past she has heard a little portion here on concerning the matter of material offerings and maybe a message or two, but she has never heard this matter covered in such a way, in a in-depth and complete way, and she was thankful for that. And also, she gave a testimony concerning, she has a daughter who lives in Manhattan, who every once in a while, when she can, comes back home. And when she does, she, as a mother, gives her something to take back home, some food, like some grapes or something. But she gives her a lot, and she gives her a big bag. And she mentioned that she does this because she loves her. And she doesn't know if her daughter appreciates it, but she does it anyway because she loves her daughter. And she was thinking that if we love the Lord, it wouldn't be a problem for us to just give ourselves and give of our material offerings to the Lord because we love the Lord. When we love the Lord, our whole being goes along with the Lord. Amen. And all, of course, all that we have. So in the first, three of the messages are concerned principles of material offerings, and then there are two days or 2 weeks that cover the matter concerning offering for the serving ones, the full-timers, and also for the Lord's move. Now concerning, I just want to briefly review these principles from day one and two. I don't want to dwell too much on them because we've covered them already, but to remind us that our attitude concerning what our attitude should be concerning money or mammon, as seen in the New Testament, we need to see how we need to deal with mammon in an absolute way. The Lord doesn't mince words and dealings here. It has to be absolute. Because if we don't break from it, we will still be tied to mammon. And we cannot serve both God and mammon. The Bible describes mammon as an idol. In Luke 6 and Luke 16, it says that we cannot serve God and mammon. And it's not a matter of dealing with being rich or poor, but it's a matter of dealing with idolatry. The Lord shows us that mammon is actually idolatry. So deliverance from mammon is part of our salvation, and the Lord shows us this in Luke chapters 18 and 19, where there are three stories there concerning the rich man who wanted to know how to inherit eternal life. And the Lord eventually told him that you have to sell all and give to the poor and come and follow me. And of course, we know that he loved money, he was very rich, and he couldn't do it. So then after that, he spoke of the difficulty of a rich man entering into the kingdom. He said it's easier for a camel to enter into the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And the disciples said, well, then who can be saved? But the Lord told them, with God, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. When we have the life of God, the life of God is our supply to make all things possible. Then with regard to Zacchaeus, we saw that immediately after he was saved, he disposed of all his possessions right away. He gave away half to the poor, and whatever he owed anyone, he repaid them four times if he had taken anything by false accusation. So the Lord desires us to inherit eternal life, enter into the kingdom, and receive salvation. And this includes the deliverance of mammon. And also in those days, we saw that we also need to be rich before the Lord, but poor before the world. This doesn't mean that the Lord wants us to be in poverty. Praise the Lord, none of us here are in poverty. But it does show us that God is faithful to meet our needs. If we trust God, if we believe in God, if we trust the Lord for our eternal salvation, can we trust him for our material riches, our material possessions, or giving them away at least? So we need to learn to be rich before the Lord, because the Lord is rich to all men. Amen. In the Gospels, the Lord also dealt with mammon by ordering it to be given to the poor. He doesn't want us to be under the bondage of this of mammon. You know, we can deal with it once and think that it's done, but it creeps up again upon us. So the Lord has to constantly remind us that we need to be delivered from this. We need to give ourselves to the Lord. In week two, we saw in the principle of being righteous, also in Luke 16, the righteous steward. In that case, there was an unrighteous steward, but it shows us how to be an unrighteous, a righteous steward with the master's possession. The Lord has given us a lot. The Lord has brought us to the church. We're here in this meeting hall. We're enjoying the ministry. We're enjoying the portion of the laboring saints, our full-timers, the workers around the world, the Lord's move, and all this needs support. And we are here, those of us who are working, though maybe we want to be out there laboring, we can't. The Lord, this is our portion, and that's their portion. But they need to be supported, of course, because there are material needs that are needed. So if we don't give, this shows that we are being unrighteous. We're not being fair to the Lord. He's giving us so much, and we're giving back nothing or very little. So we need to open up our hearts to the Lord so that the Lord can supply all the needs. Especially these days, as we see so much going around the world, and the Lord is moving on this earth. The Lord wants us to support this labor so that he can gain what he's after, which is the Lord wants to come back. Don't we want the Lord to come back? Amen. But also concerning the matter of the righteous deeds, whenever we do this, we should do this in a secret way, because the Father who sees in secret will repay in secret. We shouldn't boast of what we give, whether we give much or little. I was touched during the economic downturn 13 years ago, how so many saints lost their jobs. And the church supported many of those saints. And also, I know there were some saints who received maybe $2, $3, $5 in an envelope to help support them. And this really touched me more than what those big amounts, because it showed that these small portions show that these brothers or sisters, whoever they were, really loves the church, really loved the saints, and wanted to help support them. I'm really thankful for that, that in the church there is such love and care and concern for the needs of the saints. And then in chapters 15 and 16 of 1 Corinthians, in chapter 16, Paul speaks about setting aside something for the offering for the Lord, for the needs of the saints in of the saints. But this comes after the section on resurrection in chapter 15, showing that our giving needs to be in resurrection. Actually, we can't give unless we are experiencing and enjoying the resurrection life. Because the resurrection life not only overcomes death, but overcomes the hold that mammon has on us. So also in Philippians, in 2 Corinthians 8, he shows how the Philippians sent material support to the apostles several times, even though they were not, they were experiencing want themselves. They first of all, they gave themselves to the Lord, and then they gave themselves to the apostles for their material support. So if we want to support the ministry, the apostles, the saints, we first need to give ourselves to the Lord. Otherwise, we may regret, or we may murmur, or we may complain about giving. The Lord wants us to be a cheerful giver. Once you give, forget about it. You've given yourself to the Lord, you've given it away, the Lord will take care of the rest. So, amen. So now in day 5, I just want to point out two principles that's brought out in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And I'm sorry, brothers, I forgot to give you 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 7. We'll start with 2 Corinthians 8:15. Paul likens our giving to the needy ones, of the needy ones to the gathering of manna. We're all familiar with this story of manna, right? Having gone through the book of Numbers. He quotes from Exodus 16 and 18. He who gathered much had no excess, and he who gathered little had no lack. You know, the children of Israel were in a desert. They couldn't farm. There was no sowing and reaping. But the Lord provided manna from the heavens. So it was God who supplied them for those 40 years. And then when they gathered, some gathered much, perhaps thinking that there might not be enough, or maybe because they were greedy. And others carried little, gathered little, but they also had no lack. So we see that the Lord balanced out the needs of the children of Israel in a miraculous way also. We think about the miraculous sending down of manna from heaven, but it was also a miraculous work of the Lord to balance out the excess and the lack. Not the lack, but the little gathering. So we shouldn't be anxious, you know, whether we gather in little or we gather in more. The Lord will provide for what we need. The Lord is faithful. So this shows us that God balances our daily supply by his sovereign and miraculous hand. Amen. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 13 through 15 shows the principle working here is, for it is not that to others there would be relief, yet to you affliction. When we give, it's not that we're going to become destitute. No, but it is out of equality. This is supporting the matter of gathering little and gathering much. At the present time, your abundance for their lack, that their abundance also may be for your lack, so that there may be equality. God desires that we be balanced with regards to the daily supply, to our needs and those of others, and the work of the ministry through the proper stewardship of our finances. And if we're not balanced, we're not willing to share with others what God has given to us, at some point, and we probably experienced this, God will come in and balance us. Car may break down, we may have a sudden illness, a sudden financial a need may come up. So the Lord knows how to balance, and I've experienced this, and we all have. So let us believe in the Lord and believe his faithfulness. And then in 2 Corinthians verses 9 through in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verses 6 and 7, we didn't read that, but maybe we can read it now. But take note of this. He who sows sparingly shall also So chapter 8 refers to the gathering and or the amassing of wealth, you might say. And chapter 9 is on sowing, that is the spreading of wealth. So these two principles go hand in hand. The Christian way of managing money, in other words, is not to hold on onto it. The more we give away, the more we will have. The less we give, the less we will have. This is just basic divine principle. So it's not a matter of throwing away our money or giving it away, but it's a matter of sowing. Sowing with the expectation that we would reap. No farmer who sows does not expect to reap, otherwise he wouldn't sow. The same with us. We should be like the farmer. You know, I know that some of the most generous people are farmers. I experienced this one time when I was at a farm in Florida. I bought some oranges and I put it in a bag and paid $2, but the farmer came in and he stuffed it with even more oranges. So we shouldn't expect, on the other hand, to reap what we haven't sown. If we don't sow, we will not reap. But not only we reap, we reap with blessing. Maybe, perhaps not now, at this present moment, but when we have a need in the future, the Lord will provide for our need, either through the church, through the saints, or some other way. Certainly the Lord will reward us in the kingdom. Amen. So we as believers should all learn how to sow, that we would not have any need, and so that we would reap what we have sown. Amen. Since we're in the book of Deuteronomy, the brother in yesterday's message mentioned something that relates to this in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 18, where the Lord speaks about the orphan and the widow and that he loves the sojourner. So the Lord says several times, actually, in chapters 14, 16, 24 and chapter 10, that we need to take care of the orphans, widows, and sojourners, meet their practical needs because they don't have. And that if we don't, there'll be repercussions. But anyway, the Lord wants us, the Lord loves his people, and he wants to take care of all of his children. And so we should have the same kind of heart that the Lord has. So coming back to Matthew chapter 6, our Father is our Heavenly Father. He is the source of all that we have and all that we need. We shouldn't be anxious about anything. Our Father, the life of our Father is a life of enjoyment, of life of rest, of peace, satisfaction, not anxiety. So praise the Lord for this matter of material offerings. May the Lord gain our heart so that we would be rich not only in the life of the Lord, but also rich in all his blessings, whatever way they may come to us. Amen.
I'll just continue our brother's sharing. This matter of material offering, I enjoy the word that our brother mentioned from the scripture, that God loves a cheerful giver. So whenever God gave us, he's very happy. So when we give, then we should be like our Heavenly Father, also give cheerfully. This time, you know, this is the last week. We have not covered this matter in the church here in such a way. So this is the first time. And I feel it's very helpful. Not only, you know, there are many new ones coming into the church life. They may not have, they may have never heard such a word. I remember when I got saved, I don't have this concept. But this time, when we go over it, it's very clear that all of us should have a burden for this. Because even the meeting hall, the lights, you know, everything, there's a maintenance, everything, somebody has to give in order to maintain it. For all of us are sitting here, that means somebody has gave. So we all should participate in this giving. This is firstly, you know, we should be also share the responsibility. But the Bible doesn't take it in this way. You know, of course, this is something very practical. So the giving the matter is not just something something we encourage people to do, but rather we need to learn even for our children. You know, if they are born in the household, they also should learn to bear the responsibility in the household. But now we are in God's house, so we all need to have a share. But the scripture, I like the scripture way. The scripture way, our brother gave us quite a few basic principles. That is, in giving material things or giving money. Concerning the money, God says, mammon is versus God. You know, we cannot serve mammon and also serve God. And it's amazing. The Bible put in only these two categories. Either you serve God, everything you serve is serve mammon. So this, you know, opens us to realize that we want to serve God, and we don't want any other things to replace us God, and especially mammon, especially money. So this word seems to be telling us the money is something negative. But on the other hand, we just read in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, chapter 9, it says, the grace has been given to the churches in Macedonia. And they asked for the fellowship in this matter, that is, helping the needy saints in Jerusalem. So material giving, our offering, can be grace. Can be grace to us. And not only grace to us, also a grace to those who receive the help. So if we see this too, that on the one hand, we will not serve mammon. But on the other hand, we like to participate in this grace. And this grace, and grace is God himself. So God's intention, in fact, is not just for what we have, but rather, in fact, everything comes from God. Even our own being is from God. So it's spontaneous. It should be very natural for us to, you know, for the Lord's need, for the Lord's move, to give something, to give ourselves, in fact. So thank the Lord that we can cover this matter and with the view, with God's view, and not just something practical. Yes, we need to have a practical view. But on the other hand, the Bible has a divine view. That is, that God, he has everything, and yet he likes all of us. Doesn't matter, you know, whether we are rich or poor, and we all can participate. Because the churches in Macedonia, in the depth of their poverty, but also with their joy. So they give joyfully. So that expresses God. In fact, this is what God wants. God wants to work in us to the extent that our giving, we will not feel that we are giving. We just feel, you know, we're just responding to the Lord. We love the Lord. So we participate in this grace for the needy saints and also for the lost move. You know, especially the church here, you know, for this past 5 years, 4 years, the church has expanded. And there are a lot of needs. You know, we don't know where the money came from to buy all the meeting halls. So God is blessing the church. That's why we want to have this gathering the coming Tuesday. You know, the prayer time will be, instead of 7:30, will be 10 to 12. So 9 to 10 is our gathering for a little snack, you know, for our fellowship open, to have a fellowship with one another. But we want to thank the Lord for all his blessing upon the church here. And we also want to pray, to cooperate with the Lord for his further move. And for the Lord's move, surely there will be the need, financial need. to, you know, we already bought. But our goal is not just stop maybe 10. Our goal is go further. Yesterday we had some fellowship. Some brother was saying, next year is 2020. So we like to have 20 more meeting, 20 meeting halls. right now it's only 9. You know, one more will be 10, two digits. But for 2020, want the Lord to do more. Want the Lord to bless the church here and want to participate in this grace, in the Lord's move, in the church in New York City. So praise the Lord. You know, we can cover this matter. I think it's very timely, you know. I have to acknowledge and thank the Lord, you know. The Lord is faithful. The Lord has been faithful in caring for us and faithful, joyfully giving us to meet our every need. Whatever we gave, the Lord didn't shortchange us, but rather He always blessed us more. I enjoyed this, even on the way. I just came back this morning. Now I got a text to coordinate with the brothers. I was so happened reading a portion of the word, and that was concerning the law is the sower. The sower went out to sow. Of course, the law sowed the word of God, and that word, you know, the word is the gospel we heard, and it came into us as a seed of life and start growing. Today, thank the Lord. The Lord put us in the church. We are here enjoying His riches. I believe all of us, throughout the years, we have been growing. Thank the Lord for that divine seed planted into us. It came into our spirit, but also in our heart, with our hearts. And our hearts is the rich soil for the seed of life to grow. So we need to take care of our hearts. And now, in this portion we just read, Robert also mentioned that our giving, the Lord also compare as a kind of sowing. That means it should not be just something material, something lifeless, but rather it should be our giving is a kind of sowing. It's a kind of a matter of life. Of course, not just human life, but rather the divine life in us, that our giving will help us to grow. It's a matter of life growing in us. So thank the Lord that such a picture put in before us, that we were not just thinking materially, but rather it's something God is working in us. Now, our brother also mentioned that God is not after what we have, because everything is His, including our own being. Our being, our existence, we owe God. You know, human beings are created by God. All of us, as the descendants of Adam, we all belong to God. God cares for us, and God wants us. So we should give, because we belong to Him. Whatever we have, in fact, is from Him. And I think the scripture also says, we have brought nothing into the world. And when we leave, nothing we can bring out. So whatever we have is all temporary. If our temporary things can participate in the Lord's move, has eternal value. Wow, that's the Lord's blessing. That's the Lord's blessing. So I'm thankful that we can cover this matter, and we all can see this matter, material offering, and participate in this. And I also enjoy what Brother mentioned, that in Luke 18 and 19, it covers the matter of eternal life, covers the matter of salvation, and covers the matter of the kingdom. With the young ruler, you know, he asked the Lord the question, what should I do that I may inherit eternal life? And the Lord answered him. But eventually, just because it touches his belonging, touches the matter of mammon, he went away sorrowfully. But Zacchaeus, the Lord didn't ask him to give anything. He gave everything. I was wondering whether he eventually he found out, what did I do to give everything? We didn't see that, right? I think that is what the Lord is doing in every one of us. That one day when we give, we will not have second thought. We just give. That's what he is doing to change us, to transform us, to touch our heart, that his heart will be duplicated in our heart. Amen. That he will get the glory. So I thank the Lord, you know, I don't know about you. In the past, I was thinking about, you know, how much I give or this, that. But, you know, eventually, everything is the Lord's. You give. Praise the Lord. Amen. We all can participate in this, in his move. So this matter, I feel just for the new ones, for the young ones, and also as a reminder to all of us, you know. Our brother also mentioned that I came back from the training on the book of Deuteronomy, and there's a video training also going on. And some of the sessions are open sessions. So I think the brother will mention later on that we all can hear the word. Deuteronomy means second law. That means repeating what Moses has spoken already. So concerning God's word, even concerning this matter of material giving, we need the hearing. Because sometimes, you know, we get forgetful, and sometimes we just, you know, don't remember. So such a word, I feel that it's very healthy for us to hear, that we can participate in the Lord's move. So concerning Deuteronomy, it's a very rich book. You know, this is the last week, the fifth week, we cover concerning the material giving. And the next week, we'll be covering the experience of light, because the training, the Holy Word for Morning Revival on the book of Deuteronomy are not ready yet. So we will cover the experience of Christ. If you after the meeting, go out and pick up the morning watch verses, you'll be on the all-inclusive Christ. That is mostly from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8, you know, concerning the good land. You know, all-inclusive Christ is just, in fact, cover a few verses in Deuteronomy, chapter 8. So it's very timely that we can cover the all-inclusive Christ, this book. That's the first conference when Brother Lee came to this country, and he gave the conference on the all-inclusive Christ. So there are two messages concerning the riches of Christ in the good land, concerning, of course, in Deuteronomy chapter 8, he mentioned that the good land is full of water. There's a fountain, the spring, and there's a brooks, and there's a flowing river. So, and also there are many items of the vegetable life. You know, there's wheat, barley, there's a vine, there's a pomegranates, and there's olives, and all the riches signify Christ as food to us, for us to enjoy. And the picture is that before the children of Israel enter into the good land, they had the manna raining on them. And there was a picture that also our brother mentioned is God's supply. And but in Deuteronomy, it's on the other aspect that we need to labor on Christ. In the wilderness, they just enjoy the manna coming down from heaven. But once you enter into the good land, the manna stopped. So we all have to labor on the good land to bring forth the produce, the riches, and through that we worship God, and through that we enjoy the riches with God, before God, and with all God's people. So it's a very rich picture, very clear picture concerning that today our Christian life is not just in the wilderness, receive manna and every morning enjoy something, but rather daily we need to live a life of laboring on Christ, enjoying Christ. Then whenever we come together, we minister him to one another. But the enjoyment has a goal. So in the good land, not only there's water, there's the food stocks and all the vegetable lives, there are also minerals. There's iron, there's copper. Those are for the spiritual battle. So there's a matter of fighting. And the enjoying the riches is for the building up the church. But that goes along, there is the matter of fighting. And that is concerning the mineral aspect, that God wants us not just, you know, enjoy the riches. The food stuff, you know, you cannot fight with the wheat, with the barley, but there's a need of the transformation from the plant life to the minerals. This is also in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, you know, that Apollo, Paul planted, Apollo water, and God gave the growth. But then afterwards he mentioned that we are not only just God's farm, we're also God's building. So that we should build not with a wood, hay, stubble, but rather we should build with the gold, silver, and precious stones. So this the picture shows us very clearly that God today, he wants to build up his church. That's why we are here, enjoying God, his riches, but also for his building. So I'll stop here. Maybe more sense can share. Either share on the matter of material giving. This is the last week. And or you can share some maybe in the video training, can share concerning the all the rich speaking in the training. In fact, the Deuteronomy, one striking thing is the intrinsic significance of the whole book of Deuteronomy is concerning Christ. Because the whole book is concerning God's word, and the Christ is the living word of God, and Christ is the word who is God, and the word became flesh.
So we see that, in fact, there are many, sorry, there are many portions in the book of Deuteronomy reveal Christ to us. So I encourage you, all the saints, if you have the open sessions, participate in the open sessions, that the rich speaking of the law is for us to enjoy today and for us to build up his church. Okay, so I stop here.